They might get rowdy out there.
It's a public meeting, supposed to leave the door open.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I once was told that. It's a Brown Act violation. Close the door.
Okay. Rebel. To lock it.
Rebel.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Hey.
It's coming a little bit late. Yeah.
We're just about ready to get started.
Oh. Good timing. Semi-semi.
Good morning.
We're
good morning.
Good
to see you.
Good to see you.
I don't blame you.
Hey, Dan.
Whatever. Right, you can get lunch out of it.
I don't have anybody in the report.
You ready?
Yep.
We have a few minutes here. So we're going to call the Treasury Oversight Committee meeting to order. This is a quarterly meeting for February 26, 2018. It's 11:06. First topic is public comment. If there's anybody here from the public that would like to comment. Looks like we're all members or staff, so. Moving on to number three, the minutes. We have the minutes from our last meeting, November 13th. Did anybody have any comments or changes? I did not.
No. I believe I was absent.
Yeah. If there are no
changes,
no changes or comments, I'd entertain a motion. In a second.
I'd move to approve.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
Abstain.
So
two. Does that give you a quorum to pass it?
Yeah, we just have to. We have to have a majority vote. If we have a quorum, we have to have a majority vote
of
the members that
are
here.
Present.
Yes,
right.
So not of the full 8 members.
3 out of 5, so we're good. All right. So moving on to number 4, quarterly investment. Report for the quarter ended December 31st, and I'll turn that over to Joe.
So we're going to start on the second page of that. So the Treasury was in compliance with Monroe County investment policy as of December 31st, 2017. The weighted average maturity at that point was 619 days. It is anticipated that the County Treasury will be able to meet its liquidity requirements of its pool participants for the next 6 months. On the last day of the quarter, on a cost basis, the portfolio totaled $97,167,416, and the market value was $96,258,116, or 99.064% of cost. The earned interest rate for the quarter ending 12/31/17 was 1.5127. Four pages are all of our investments. Does anybody have any questions on the investments that we're holding? The following page is the distribution by asset category, market value. A few changes to point out. We put some money into short-term treasuries between the 3 and 9 month mark. Did a little bit extra yield out of that. And they're very liquid, so if we ever needed to sell them, they're very easy to sell. Let's see here.
Is that the last little section there?
The bottom four bars. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. And then on the following page is our maturity distribution as of 12/31/17. As you see, all the quarters have some type of investments. It's fairly filled. You can see at the very the bottom, this is where the treasuries went in. There at the bottom.
Yeah.
Those are just short-term investments. They'll roll off within the next well, 12 months, but most of it will roll off in 9 months.
So, Joe, if I can take a step back on the cash stuff, did you guys end up with pretty solid December collections on the budget tax?
Yes, we were actually about $4 million ahead of our normal collections because everybody tried to pay their.
So what you're going to see is the next page is you're going to see that our December collections are about $8 million more than they were last December.
Right. Yeah.
Our cash balances, and half of that is the result of the Tax Reform Act and the acceleration.
So most of that is sitting either in cash or CDs?
And treasuries also.
Yeah, so
short term treasuries.
Yeah. But that really did bump up the ladder in investment.
Bump up the ladder.
Just the way it's laddered up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one of the things that I want to talk about, you know, towards the end of the meeting is that our investment policy limits us to a weighted average maturity of 730 days. And what happens is that once we reach or get close to that 730 days, we no longer are doing cash flow planning and investing idle cash because we're already maxed out on what we can invest. And what happens because our hands are tied because of this maximum, we then don't have the ability to invest like this $4 million that came in something that could earn interest because we weren't necessarily anticipating $4 million for another 4 months.
Otherwise, it's sitting in LAIF, right?
Right, otherwise it's in LAIF and earns 1.5%. As opposed to getting invested and allowing the department to do the cash flow planning that normally would happen. So I'd like to start talking about whether there are some mechanisms to either loosen that, so we'll talk about some of the options that Gerald and I have talked about to help us have more invested and increase our earning power.
And how much of the property tax was the delinquent collections?
Presumably,
sure.
Nothing more than normal.
Yeah.
Just remember that coming up at the board.
It was people paying their second installment early.
Okay.
Yeah, so April's going to be
lighter. Right.
Yeah.
So all we do is accelerate cash flow for about three months or so, 4 months.
Yeah. There was money that came in from a taxpayer who was delinquent for quite some time, a large one.
Yeah, that we portioned out.
Yeah, that was portioned out.
Yeah.
But right now it's just it's typical. We have a high.
So that's what you're thinking.
Yeah.
But is the Ormat and Mammoth Mountain still up in debate?
They are.
Yes.
Both of those.
We have an impound set aside for that, and really don't know whether it's adequate or not. But it's better than not having anything set aside.
Great. Okay. Sorry to mean to derail you there.
No problem. So the next page, as Jan said, it's if you look at our totals for December, we're about $8 million higher than we were the prior year. The pool does keep increasing. For that is due to extra tax collection. Most of those tax, only a small part of the tax collections were actually apportioned for December, because most of them came in the last 2 weeks, and we apportioned prior to that last 2 weeks.
Still sitting there.
Yeah.
So was it apportioned in April or before that?
We'll apportion it. I believe in April is our next apportionment.
Do you know when?
Normally it's towards the last week of April.
Okay. It takes quite a bit of
budget discussion.
It takes quite a bit of work to do the apportionment. There's a lot of reconciling that's involved, and so we'll wait till the April 10th collections, and then once we're sure we've gotten all the deposits in, then we'll work to apportion what's in the trust funds out to agencies. But since our delinquency rate is very low on the current secured, you know, you should be getting approximately what you're anticipating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, delinquency rates is less than 5%, right? It's around 3.
Well, off
2 to 3.
For the first installment this year for current secured, we're at 1.02%, which is the lowest we've ever been.
Yeah. Well.
So, people are paying the bills.
Yeah, and we don't know how much of that is driven by
the tax,
anticipation of the tax reform act. So.
But it's nice to see that number.
What is it from year to year, from past year to present?
I think it's usually
last year was, first installment, I believe, was at 2.38 or something like that. And then by the end of the year, the combination was at about 3.6.
And what does that represent in dollars?
Was $60 million, so what's that, six?
$6 million.
$360,000?
Yeah.
All right. Is that right? No, that's not. That's not right. So we have 68 million.
68 million, so it's 2 million.
So it's 2 million.
Yeah. And only the first installment, I think there's like $370,000 outstanding, so it's very small.
We also have some proceeds from tax sale. It's going to be a portion.
Oh, yes. Which
not that that's on topic of what we're talking about.
No, but we actually already apportioned it. So not this year's, not this last year's tax sale, but the prior year's tax sale, the 1 year came up where the any relatives or heirs or anybody who has interest in the parcels that we sold could apply to get the money back, and no one applied. So on the 23rd, I believe, we apportioned out the what was left.
Last week.
So it's based on the AB8 rates from the year prior to the tax sale. So that's how it was distributed out. Yeah.
Mm. And so that just happened end of January then?
February 23rd.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know that I've ever seen us get it, any of that before.
This is
I was going to say, I wonder where do we even look for it? I'll have to call our county office of ed then. Because we would have apportioned it to our district through them, right?
Yeah.
Check with Stephanie.
What was the total amount?
So maybe the journal entries haven't been posted yet.
It might not be, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
The total was 51,000, I think, in excess proceeds. So it's not a lot, but it was, you know.
Yeah. So we're trying to have a tax sale every year.
Yes.
Which then generates, you know, improves collections.
All right.
Generates some cash flow, but we can't ever anticipate what it is.
Yeah. Okay.
But we have to hang on to the excess proceeds for a year before we can distribute them.
Okay.
Excellent.
All right. And so you're not paying attention to where the property is. You're just using the AB8 rate no matter the location.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's the AB8 rate is set by where it's at.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Whatever it was for 2 years ago.
Yeah. But we had like this year.
Oh, so
we
not
had
the overall rate, but the rate for that where that parcel location.
No, the overall AB8 rate.
Oh, okay. Because like our districts varies dramatically whether the property's in Mammoth or outside of Mammoth.
Yeah.
And then we have an overall weighted average.
Yeah, I think
so.
Are you using
the weighted?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right.
And we started with 29 tax parcels on the tax sale this year, and we ended up with 4 on the tax sale. So that really shows you what happens when you take it to tax sale every year.
Did you all 4 sell?
All 4 sold. Yes.
So what happens is by doing the tax sale, these are properties that have 5 years delinquent on the receivable, and by putting it on the tax sale, people realize that the day of reckoning is coming, and so they'll come in and pay their bill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we've got collections from just the act of putting it on the tax sale, which then gets whittled down to the final 4 that weren't paid and then sold at auction. So.
Okay.
All right, so the next page is the quarterly yield comparison. You see the county was sitting at about 1.51, the LAIF was at 1.20, and 2-year treasury is at 1.69. We're still performing quite considerably better than LAIF. 2-year treasury really went up.
Mm-hmm.
Pass these around. These are just the treasury, average treasury by month for the 2-year and the 5-year over the last 6 months. So you see the 2-year treasury went from 155 6 months ago to a current rate of 1.55 to a current rate of 2.16.
Mm-hmm.
We have a 5-year treasury pool basically, and there's impossible to keep up with the treasury when it moves like that.
Right.
You even the even the pools that true up, which means they sell and then reinvest, really didn't have enough time to do that without losing money at this point. I mean, it's just one of those things. It moves so quickly, yes.
So we generally hang on to our investments to maturity unless there's some event that tells us that by liquidating the investment and reinvesting it is a sure deal, because we have priorities in the investment policy, and number one is safety of principal. And so we're not going to jeopardize safety of principal for the sake of earning a return, a greater return.
And the last page is just the pool participants. Hasn't changed from the last report.
I did have a discussion with the fire chief and was talking about some of the interest earning potential, and I don't know if you followed up or not, but the name of the fire department.
Fire?
Yeah. So they may have an interest.
Okay.
Yeah, I talked to him also. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I said just that we closed our interest earnings and stuff, but especially if they start to build some reserve accounts they want to hold for future equipment and things like that, and they say, well, if you get a better rate of return, you got to take a look at the county pool, so.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we have districts that.
So I'd say feel free to reach out to Frank Freebolt if he'd probably look for more information, so whoever wants to give a call, feel free, and you can let him know that we had the deep discussion.
So we have, so, we have districts that use the county treasury pool like we use Lake. Mm-hmm. You know, like as a parking area to put excess idle cash to have it invested, and so they just give us we give them draws, as opposed to we have other districts that are, while independent, are financially dependent in that we do all of their transactions, we pay all of the bills, make all their deposits, and they don't have any outside bank accounts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did the recent issues with the Bridgeport PUD create any opening to try to get them to participate?
I reached out to them, but they weren't interested right now.
Okay.
I think it was lack of funds. It's before they want to build up some more of their funds again.
Okay.
And before they look into it.
I think they got pretty strapped with
that was a major
events.
Yeah.
Okay. Even though they got some funding.
Yeah.
So have any of the current non-participants participated in the past and pulled out that you're aware of?
And pulled out?
Well, they're out now, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been here 10 years. These are the same pool participants, except for Hilton Creek just came in.
Okay.
I don't think any of those were in before. I'm aware of either. It's a shorter 10-year.
But they've all been, at one point in time or another, remade aware that they can participate?
Okay. Yeah. So the pool is moving up as far as their yield goes. 930 was at 1.3751. December went up to 151. My projected numbers are breaking 160 barely for March. So it's looking good. We're on the move upwards. So, any questions on the report?
Thank you, Chair. I'll just for all your work. You just really
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Can we move on?
Yeah.
Okay. So last part of our agenda here. Quick meeting. Is questions and recommendations. It's an opportunity for us to have some dialogue, kind of an open-ended conversation. And Gerald and I have two topics. One I'll lead or get it started off and let Gerald jump in. This has to do with the weighted average maturity, as I mentioned. You know, we're limited to 730 days weighted average maturity. And once we reach that, doesn't matter if we've got $4 million of excess cash in the bank, we can't make any more investments because we're capped out. And so in other counties who don't have this limitation placed on them, their process is that we do cash flow planning so that we can anticipate going forward what our cash needs are for disbursements of all of the pool participants. We make sure we have that much liquidity in our pool, and then any cash we don't need that's technically idle would then be invested in a variety of maturities, a ladder between doing short-term treasuries like Gerald has done recently, all the way up until five years, which is our maximum. And so by doing that, you can then take cash that's not earning a rate or is earning a small amount of rate because of our banking requirements, and you invest it in something that's earning more because you don't really need it. But because of the way that the weighted average maturity provisions in our investment policy is written, when we have a situation like at the end of December, we're not able to take that extra $4 million and necessarily invest it. Sometimes we can because we're under the limit. So, Gerald, do you want to talk about it any further?
So, real quick, to the number, that's basically a two-year limit.
Two-year, yes.
Yeah.
And so the question is, I think you answered it, the maximum is a 5-year commitment period, right?
Yes.
So the question is, we can allow, we have to modify the policy, but we go anywhere between that, 0 up to the 5 years in for the weighted average.
Yes.
Not that you go to and, 5 necessarily, but.
And a lot of counties, okay. So one of the problems we have, if you look at the December report, we're at 619 days.
Right.
The reason we're at 619 days is because September, so we had $96 million in December. By September, we dropped to $80 million. It's just the way it goes. So we don't collect during that period, so we start collecting October again. So I have to make sure, basically, that we don't go over the 730 in September, so I can't fully invest. What a lot of other counties do is, instead of having a drop-dead date or a drop-dead WAM, they'll have a WAM that is at the time of purchase. So if we are at 619 and we kept it under 730 in December, we might be at like 780 at, or 780 at September, might be about 720 in December. The key with the portfolio is liquidity.
Okay.
Not so much the weighted average maturity, but you have to make sure that everything can get paid. You can pay the bills. And we go out to make sure that we can pay the bills for 6 months.
Yeah, I think we're ultra conservative on that process.
Oh yes, we're 1.5 times.
Not only do we look at past history for the particular months that we're looking at, we then, you know, increase it by half, irregardless of what budgets are, to make sure that we've got enough of a layer.
Yes.
And on top of that, we have the WAM that is artificially forcing us not to invest in cash in certain investments. That doesn't look like it's treasury related. But maybe we should put a sign on the door. So I understand, I wasn't around when this provision was added to the investment policy. It may be that we didn't have the robust management process and procedures that we have now, and so there was a lot more oversight from this committee and the board wanting to put some limits or boundaries on our investing practices. And I'm wondering if, I just wanted to start a dialogue on how the committee felt about whether we increase that amount or do what Gerald is talking about. I know El Dorado is like this. They have a weighted average maturity limitation, if I recall, and that is based on when you invest, not an ongoing. I mean, we've talked about how we could maximize at 7:30 and then a month later be out of compliance, and we rewrote the investment policy a couple years ago to say that we would get back into compliance at the next regular investment horizon,
right,
as opposed to liquidating an investment at a loss for the sake of coming in under the maximum maturity limit.
And have we been doing that? Liquidating and
we don't liquidate.
We fixed that.
But the policy could have forced Gerald and I to liquidate investments at a loss, just for the sake of being below the 730.
Yeah.
And last year, the year before, it was 2 years
two
ago.
Years, yes.
We came to this committee and said we'd like to change that. We'd like to say that when this happens, that we will bring it back into maturity as soon as possible without having to liquidate.
Right. And that's what's there today.
Yeah.
And so what you're asking for now is greater flexibility, either in moving the date up and or the ability to do the different timing when you actually measure that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So from the earnings side, I think that makes some sense.
Is your preference then to increase the WAM, as Dan was mentioning, or to do what you're saying, leave it where it is potentially, but just change how you define it to be at the time of investment?
It would actually be easier at the time of investment.
That would be a better
method.
Because
we have such a large swing in September.
Because of the seasonality of our cash receipts.
Yeah. Well, you know when these events are most likely going to be happening, right?
Yes, that's why we're at in December. That's why we're sitting at 619, because I have to anticipate that.
Right.
So
if we use the current level of WAM and then just changed it to at the time, does that fix the problem, the swing between December and September? Is that enough of a change for you?
Yes, because we could, because then we have the opportunity, like this 619 could have been maybe 680 or something, whereas September rolls around and now we're at 760, but we still have plenty of liquidity.
Right,
So that's the key, it's the liquidity.
I think that's a step in the right direction. that allows us to see what we experience with this, to see that that's adequate. And,
okay.
And then the next step, if we find that that's not adequate to allow us to maximize our earning potential while conserving our liquidity, then the next step would be to whether we wanted to increase the WAM. But I
okay.
would see Gerald's suggestion here as being an intermediate step that mm. allows us to at least better manage the idle cash that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Like this.
It's a great problem to have.
Yeah.
So this September we're looking at hitting about 720, and we'll have at least a minimum of $10 million in cash.
Mm-hmm.
Not liquidity. Liquidity is measured over time. I can go three months out for liquidity measurement.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll have $10 million sitting there.
Okay.
And October we start collecting our taxes again.
Yeah,
so it's kind of
out.
Yeah, it's something. It's not. You wouldn't want to invest all of it, but maybe another $3 or $4 million, and then you're back into tax season, and you're collecting money again, and
mm-hmm.
then you come back up, so you're able to invest a little bit more and a little bit longer term than what like Leif is
yeah.
saying.
So that $10 million would be in Leif.
Yes.
And so we can outperform it by making this modification.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Without affecting. Liquidity.
Yeah, right.
Which is the key.
Which is the key.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, we're bound by those priorities in the investment policy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and those are the guidelines that we follow when we make decisions on investments.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you're at 1.5 typically for liquidity. I mean, above and beyond.
Oh, 1.5 times. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
So that half a time is to cover
the
unanticipated.
Unanticipated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's
okay. Which is extremely
right.
So how does that happen? How can we make that happen for you guys?
Well, the next time we bring the investment policy, I don't advocate making changes mid-year in the investment policy, but in November we will be revisiting the investment policy again, and we will propose, Gerald and I will propose that to this committee.
Yeah.
It then goes to the board next January.
And it gives you some time to think about it too, and
yeah.
Do any research you guys want to do.
And how does that, or would it, greatly inform the forecasting ability for the budgeting cycles of both the town and the county? Like, would it?
It doesn't.
Doesn't.
It
okay.
Doesn't. You know, the experts say it can. That this cash flow planning can inform budgets by seeing trends, but I think it's not additional information that each agency doesn't already have by looking at their own information. This isn't a real sophisticated tool that we have. We're not a real large organization that has software planning tools for doing sophistication. It's in Gerald's head and then probably on
an
Excel spreadsheet
yeah,
somewhere.
I have
so.
9 years of cash flow history,
yeah.
And that's what I... lately, I base it off the last three because prior to that, we were in a downtrend.
they say we
spend money differently.
Say because our economy is property tax based, which is very stable, we're not income tax based, that it really doesn't add much more value to the budgeting process because
mm-hmm.
we're already pretty stable. Maybe, you know, you guys with TOT is really
that
a lot more volatile. So that's not going to tell you a whole lot because
yeah.
it's going to be averaged in with everything else.
No, you know, I think the property tax world is going to hopefully be changing here in the next few years.
Mm-hmm. And then, Gerald, as far as figuring out the how you're doing the cash flow and the historical thing, are you just automatically segregating out, like when a district like ours issues large bonds? Because I know Mammoth Unified is going to do, if they get approval for this $60 million bond, obviously there's going to be some really heavy seasonal spending that's outside the normal cash flow. But because it happens outside their general fund, are you already segregating that from the rest of your cash flow calculations? Or how are you handling big ticket facilities things? That
these bonds are collected through debt service through the county?
They would be. Well, if they start, if they get approval, they'll start collecting the money on the tax roll and spending it every summer as they do the project.
I think what happens is it doesn't have an impact because I think what happens is when those bonds are, say the initiative passes,
mm-hmm.
the bonds are then underwritten
Right.
Right. And those proceeds go with the trustee. They're outside the pool. So all of the fluctuations that happen with the influx of cash and then the spending doesn't hit our pool and won't hit our cash flow.
Well, ours did. Eastern Sierra Unified, it was collected on the tax rolls and it was it was in a separate fund.
Theirs was
and I would think Mammoth's would be too. Initially, the trustee has it, but they, you know, the trustee never has that much because they're not collecting the taxes. But so
we collect the debt service and then pay the normally semi-annual payment to the whoever the trustee.
Yeah, I understand that.
So you, how is that? I'm just wondering about that. Is that so? You've got that. Ours was 15 million. I mean, that may not have been that significant, but I'm.
60 is significant.
Yeah, but 15 million doesn't affect cash flow by 15 million. It's only what's collected that year.
Right.
Well, it was when it's going out.
That's what I was saying. Yes. It was spent over a period of years, but I mean, 60 million. If they do. You know, there's the bigger fluctuations than normal cash flow would happen because of building programs.
Yeah, so the trustee making the payments?
Yeah.
No. The contractor or are you guys?
No, we are. Well,
okay,
but we have a separate fund for it. But it's, anyway, I was just curious how your historical cash flow deals with major facilities outflows.
So, you know, yours wasn't handled by a trustee. That $16 million went to.
Well, it's being collected. It's still being collected in the county on
the
tax rolls year by year.
You're talking about the repayment.
Right, but it was spent over a period of 10 years. And so it's spent in advance, you know, it's spent by, because the bonds are issued, right, and the cash comes in, and then the debt service on those bonds happens year by year. But the cash came in when the bonds were sold in a huge lump of money, to $15 million to us, or 11 or 12 of it, I guess, was bonds. And then we spent it.
Yeah, but I think what Joe's trying to say is that a lump sum selling of those bonds didn't funnel through the treasury. It funneled through outside accounts, whether it's under your control or a trustee. The only thing that funnels through the treasury is the collection of property taxes, which is now going to be increased because it's a general obligation bond, and then the payment of the debt service. And what we have is we used to issue capital appreciation bonds that had balloon payments at the end, and so we'd increase the property taxes in excess of what the cash flow needs were for the year in order to create a sinking fund to take care of those balloon payments later on. Mm-hmm. To that extent, that causes an acceleration in the size of the pool.
Okay.
But the actual selling of the bonds and the construction, the payment of the construction costs, shouldn't affect the pool because those proceeds and that spending doesn't run through your investment account with the county. It runs through separate accounts that are outside.
But see, that's the false part of what you're saying.
Yeah.
It did run through the county.
So
when the bonds were sold, all of that money was deposited into the county treasury.
Okay.
In our fund 51. And we wrote checks out of Fund 51.
So hopefully there's no money left in there, right?
No. Well,
okay,
like $164.
Because there's.
You had a little sweat going on there.
Yeah.
There's maybe a $60 million bond that's going to be traveling
similar.
So we don't
want to be aware of.
Right.
So there's different criteria for investing bond proceeds, though, and it's complicated.
Right.
So
I see.
Yeah, and so one of the things that we have to be real careful about when we issue bonds is if you're not going to spend them right away, you're going to invest them, and then you have issues with arbitrage, tax penalties if you're earning a greater interest than what the tax code says you can. That jeopardizes the tax exempt status of your bonds. And so, you know, the two of us are not trained. We can take that into account for cash flow planning, but somebody else needs to manage those funds to make sure that you're meeting all of the requirements that come with any kind of bond issue, which includes investing those proceeds, timing the investment in accordance with your construction schedule, and also the arbitrage compliance.
Who wrote your bond?
I
they were refunded during a time when I was not in the office a few years ago, and so I don't even remember right off the top of my head. I'd have to look it up. Anyway,
I know. I don't remember either. I was on the school board. I didn't pay attention to that level of detail.
We have bonds outstanding now, but again, at this point, it's just, as you were saying earlier, it's just collecting on the tax rolls and paying the debt service.
And so we're not collecting on a sinking fund, it's just an in and out.
There is still sinking fund, but it's not huge or anything. The big financial impact to cash flow was for us, the $15 million rolled in and we started spending it. And if Mammoth gets their $60 million, I mean, that's a huge deposit, obviously.
Yeah,
that'll happen somewhere.
They're not going to run that through the treasury.
Yeah,
normally
we would recommend not to run it through the treasury.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Separate bank accounts that are under control of their agency or under escrow agents.
Somebody knows how to run prompt processes.
I've been involved recently working with financial counsel on whether we're going to issue bonds for our South County, and I would always advise that bond proceeds should be kept separate and apart from the investment pool.
Mm-hmm.
And I prefer to have a trustee with outside escrow accounts manage that, mm-hmm. just so you can have the peace of mind that things are getting done correctly.
Yeah, if that ever happened, I would definitely recommend that we keep that separate. It can be in the pool, but it has to be separate, run by somebody else. So that we make sure all
segregated
that,
out. The other thing that we wanted to talk about was, so we have a limitation in our investment policy that says we cannot purchase more than 35% of our investments or the pool.
In
what's called callables. And those callables do not distinguish among the different types of investments. For instance, a callable for a treasury or for an agency is completely different than a callable for a corporate bond.
Yes.
Corporate bonds, the way those typically works is all of them have callable provisions, and so we're limited because of this on what we can invest in corporate bonds. And what happens with a callable provision on a corporate bond is if they call it, we get all of our investment earnings we would have gotten if we had held on to the bond to maturity.
Yeah.
And so the reason why we have this limitation is to...
to limit interest rate risk.
Right.
So you don't want market drop and then you have 50% of your portfolio
gets called.
Right.
Right.
What I was thinking is possibly for the next investment policy is changing that to 35, change it from 35% for all investments to 30% on agencies. Because the agency callables are
where your interest rate risk is at.
Yeah. The corporates are not. The corporates have two different types of callables. One is an admin call, which normally happens 1 month before maturity, which affects us nothing. I mean, it's not an effect. They do that so that they can, a lot of times they can refund it in time, that type of stuff.
For planning.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The other one's a make-whole call, like Janet was saying, which we get all of the future coupon payments at net present value. So it's not 100%, but it's pretty darn close.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're not out any money. In fact, they just paid us a lot of money and we can reinvest at that point.
Right. And depending on where the market's at.
Yeah. So... And when you combine them like that, like right now we have about 9% in corporates, and we're at about 34% callables. 9% of it is the corporates. So I would say maybe 30%, no more than 30% on agencies max, and then leave the corporates out of the callable, because most counties don't consider them callable. Because the callable feature doesn't hurt.
And so with where we're at right now at 34%, we don't have much room if an investment shows up. And the way we have to find investments, so when bonds are issued, they're issued for 30, 35, 40 years. We have to find a bond that has no more than 5 years left, that's at an interest rate, that has a credit rating that meets our criteria, that maybe has insurance too on it, to find the right opportunity. And so, if a Toyota trading at 3% with the right credit rating comes along and we don't have room for a callable, we would not be able to take advantage of that opportunity.
So you're saying 30% of agency?
Of agency, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
That way the corporates aren't lumped into the callable range.
Right, right. So I'm, as an example, if you went all the way to 30% right now and you'd have 9%, we'd have 39% callable.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So, okay. But there's some good investments out there, like Toyota. I mean, they had one that 5-year at 3%. It's like that's a very good yield.
Beats the Treasury.
So, yeah. And their credit rating is pretty where good. We want
Double
it.
A.
So,
yeah,
it's pretty good.
But there's no room right now.
Right.
We would go over, so we have to hold off.
Right.
So maybe that.
You
so
don't put that into effect until next January.
It would be next January.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not doing anything today.
Yeah.
No, I just wanted
listening.
To have a conversation on it so that you know it's not a surprise when Gerald and I come in and say you must adopt this. All right. Any other comments, questions from members?
No.
Just thank you for the thoroughness of all this and being able to explain it in terms that I can understand most of.
what we did at the last meeting, so John, I know this is your first meeting, you weren't here last time. We've been having a lot of work on Gerald's end on multiple doodle requests to try and find a meeting on the calendar when we can get at least 5 people here to have a quorum. And so what we did last time is we said the middle month of every quarter, and the third Tuesday.
Monday.
Third Monday.
It was
third Monday
best for everybody.
Would be the date that, so we'd make this a, kind of a regular schedule as opposed to trying to pick and choose based on, you know, last chance on your schedule because we're all busy.
So say that again, third Monday.
Third Monday, sorry. So unfortunately our next, according to this formula, the next meeting doesn't work.
Oh, shoot.
So the next meeting month would be May. And the third Monday would be the 21st, and we have a budget workshop that's going to be scheduled for that day. So I'd like to know if it's the board's pleasure here to meet on the 14th of May.
I show the budget workshops the 22nd.
It's going to be 3 days starting on the 21st.
Okay, so let me add that in.
Those are my marching orders.
Okay.
So I couldn't make it on that Monday. It's our annual audit.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah, and I have LTC.
Oh, LTC, so that's probably the problem.
Yeah, so I have that one
okay,
too.
And
so
it goes till noon.
So I could do the prior Monday
the
7th.
You want to do the 7th?
7th.
I won't be here, but
I won't
you'd
be
have
here.
To
no.
get somebody else.
Okay. But the problem is making a quorum. We
yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right. How about the 24th of May? It's a Thursday. Kind of out of the norm, but it's in that same week.
Works for me.
Works for you?
Yeah, that looks like it works.
24th, sorry.
Thursday. So it'll be a little unusual because it's a Thursday and we're used to Monday. So let's go out another 3 months. This would be August
24th at 11?
At 11, August 20th.
Are they always here?
Yes. Although you can.
Yeah, we can. You can. If you can't make it here, we can video conference from Bridgeport. As long as somebody doesn't pop in a room.
Which happens. Sometimes they have a whole staff meeting go on.
Yeah, May
24th.
Okay.
So are you going to send us calendar requests on this also?
Yes.
For these?
Yeah.
Okay.
So now where are you going out to?
That's it.
May?
August 20th.
August
20th.
20th.
11 o'clock here.
Does everybody have that day open?
See, that way I get on your... We get on your calendar right away
before
everybody else. And you have to work around us.
Well, let's do November then.
And then November will be the investment policy.
Yes.
The Treasury Oversight has an audit every year, compliance audits required by government code. So our auditors are currently working on that, so we'll either have it for the May or the August meeting for this group.
Okay. So the November 1, the 19th, is Monday of Thanksgiving week.
Yeah, anybody have any thoughts on that?
I mean, it probably works for me. I just don't know if it'd be a hard one to get a quorum.
We have a board meeting on the 20th.
Yeah, 12th's a holiday. 26th would be the Monday after Thanksgiving. So you guys,
that might be harder now.
That might
we'll
be
all
more
be in
comas.
Turkey coma.
Turkey coma.
Yeah.
So we want to try the 19th?
Yes. And as we get closer, we'll pull.
Yes, yeah.
And make sure that we're going to have a quorum, because that's an important meeting.
Yeah, that one's important because we have to propose a new investment policy.
Yeah, I'd like to get the investment policy adopted before for the calendar year.
It's supposed to affect the calendar year.
Yeah,
so.
and so we made it a little bit easier this last time. Previously, we had to adopt an ordinance to delegate investment authority to the finance department, and that requires a 30-day lag. For that to go on, and then two readings. We had to have two meetings, the investment policy, and then 30 days after that to go into effect, and it really took us out into March. And so we changed that so that the board can do that process by resolution. Mm-hmm. And so the day that we adopt the investment policy, we'll do the resolution, delegation, everything happens all at once, so it'd be much easier and streamlined.
Otherwise, real complicated an ordinance every year.
So,
it'd be great if you guys could do a little write up, on it.
Sure.
And kind of disperse it out so everybody knows what's coming.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, and with the investment policy, the changes that we recommend will be in there, and
right.
that we'll send that out ahead of time.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you for just, for also just to be working it and looking at ways that aren't maximizing, our yield and coming up with revisions
mm-hmm.
that still
yeah.
protect the assets and do a better job for us. It's appreciate it.
Somebody asked me about the CD for Bank of India, was it?
Because you had proposed it at one point. Right.
Bank of China.
Oh, really? Okay.
But it's a brick and mortar
uh-huh.
building company here, and they have 18 locations. They've been here since 1983. They're fully federally insured. So it's not really, it might have China in the name, but it's a company here.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Which we picked up, I think it was at $275, I think we got the CD at. Mm. Pretty good. So.
Okay.
So you might see. If it looks good, you might see a little bit more than that.
Do we have the sound? It's kind of weird that they're just
using
they're
that.
They're interviewing.
Do they have any idea?
I think they're hiring somebody.
That's a problem.
Is this a confidential interview? Or?
I think the sound's not enough.
The sound is.
Just turn it on and say hello.
I had a question for you, which again is outside the policy here, but I think everyone's probably affected by it. Just the funds that we're holding in reserve against the potential the claims, the Ormac and the Mammoth Mountain thing. Early on, I had asked Stephanie about an accounting of. What's our agency share of that? And at that point, I know there was a lot going on in the office, and because of all of the deposits in and then some with refunds out, there wasn't, at that point, an accounting yet, agency by agency, of the total fund and what everyone's piece of it was.
So we have the balance. Stephanie and I met
okay.
with Barry
okay.
To try and get some feedback on what the ultimate refund, if any, might be
mm-hmm.
specifically related to Ormat and Mammoth Mountain.
Right.
And the best guidance we got from Barry is that if they settled the claims, it's not near enough to pay those claims,
mm-hmm.
those refunds. So the fund is just sitting at what it's at right now. We have no plans to add to it.
Right.
Just because we don't, we like to find some abnormal property tax collections that aren't part of your budget to put in there. So let me let Stephanie know. We just haven't applied an ABA rate to it.
Is that what you're going to do? Just use the weighted average
weight? Yeah,
I have
to look at it.
Because there was an issue of, like, okay, well, you know, we know what everyone put in, but then if you did refunds, or were you going to specifically account for them depending on which tax rate area they were in? And
so I think
the rules
work is that, you know, when, let's say that we settle RMAT for 50% or whatever their appeal is, that would be those refunds would be paid out of that fund as opposed to being paid out of your current installment arrangement. And then what's left, I'd have to look at what the rules say for how that would be then apportioned out to districts.
Okay.
But what we did was we funded this impound account with abnormal delinquent property tax collections that we got that presumably agencies weren't counting on as part of their budget. And that way we don't risk. These two appeals, which are multiple years, are so large that they could wipe out your entire current installment collection.
Only if, you know,
which we didn't want,
like 100%.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But even if it's 50%, these are really large.
Yeah.
Is my understanding, and I don't have a lot of those details. Barry is holding that very close to him because he's the one that manages and moves these things forward. So we don't have a lot of information other than Barry telling us that it's not enough if they even settled at 50%.
Except, well, but I mean, the other feedback from him, though, is that he doesn't expect him to get anywhere close to 50%.
Exactly.
He doesn't
expect
to win.
We would hope not, but at this point, they're not moving forward at all. So.
Right. Okay, so, but my question was, the value of the reserve account in which agencies own which share of that, if in fact it were refunded, is not available. It's unknown.
Well, we haven't calculated it yet right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Wasn't there a $200,000+ number out there?
Well, here's the challenge. Because of, I mean, we can know what was withheld at any given time, but there have been refunds paid from that reserve, and we don't know because we don't know what tax rate area those refunds were in. At least as an agency, we don't. So we have there's no means for me to calculate what our agency's reserve is in that reserve fund
now.
And
it's complicated for us because
we don't have
the information necessarily for all of the appeals that are out there, just the big pieces.
Right. Okay.
So.
Okay.
And we didn't get any information from Barry until just recently.
Okay.
So.
Alrighty. Well, I hope he wins, and I hope he wins soon.
Yeah.
Sitting over our heads for a while.
Yes, right.
It has been.
Right. Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks.
See you in May.
Yeah.